Welcome once again to the Florida Creatives Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Price, and sitting with me is a guest who some people may call BS on because he's actually related to me. This is Mr. Stefan Price.
No, it's perfectly fair to interview family members. If they're interesting enough, I suppose.
Yes. Well, this is a man with no lack of ego, it can be said.
I wasn't saying I was interesting enough. I just said it's fair play. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
So we haven't really had a lot of film guests here on the show before, and it's arguable whether my brother is a film guest or not.
I was going to say.
a lot of the work that you do every day ends up going into films or television commercials or sometimes theme parks. Do you have like a short... like
the normal pitch is that, you know, Roundtable Productions is a full service art department and special effects company, and we provide props, sets, special effects, mechanical effects, smoke, wind, fire, rain. We build the odd stuff, you know. We do mechanical and atmospheric effects, and we build it, sculpt it, paint it, blow it up. That's what we do here.
And you have wanted to do this since you were like a little kid. I know. Yeah. I was there.
You were there. But pretty much when I was 11 years old, I, you know, learned about movie magic, or I always wanted to be a magician. At 11 years old, learned about movie magic and said, I know what I'm going to do. And that's a big part of what we do is film and television and commercials, you know. And then, you know, I found that I applied those skills to themed environments, theme parks, themed restaurants, museums, all kinds of entertainment
convention trade shows, museums, I think you said already.
It's all kinds of applications, and, you know, from everybody that wants something privately built for their home to, you know, Disney World and Universal Studios.
Yeah. And so about 3 years ago, I started doing all this internet video, audio
internet stuff.
And I was really hardcore trying to convince you to make little short stuff and put it up on YouTube. And you, at the same time, were saying, we need to do more short films, we need to do more experimental projects, just things to just get our teeth cut.
Yeah, exactly.
And your plan 3 years ago was, let's make one thing every month.
I remember distinctly us
sitting there and talking about this very thing.
That was the dream, one thing a month, one thing a month. If we could just make one thing a month, we could accomplish a lot. But of course, you know, schedules and money and time, but mostly people's schedules and lives just don't really make that very conducive.
And in the last, you know, 3-4 years, you have ended up working on probably one thing a month, just somebody else's project.
Oh, easily.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm helping a lot of other people trying to make their stuff, which is my main goal, is to just help people tell their stories better.
And then pretty recently, internet video craze, for some reason, comes to Orlando 3 years after the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And now everybody wants to make a stupid video show.
Well, I mean, it's funny because we started it. We had our own internet show, you and I, that we tried to get off the ground. And it arguably hasn't gone away. It's still there. It just, we don't have as much time because we're more involved in these other projects. And now there's other people out there doing exactly what we did. And
I'm not going to try to say that we were the first.
Oh, no, we certainly weren't the first. I didn't mean to say we're the first, but there definitely seems to be a lot of people now on this bandwagon of, let's make stuff for the internet like it's a new idea. And it wasn't a new idea when you and I started it, and it certainly isn't a new idea today. Fortunately, it worked out in our favor that investors and advertisers and other people with the money have decided that this is the way that the world is going, and has started to put money behind some of this stuff, which in turn has meant that a lot of people are now very interested in doing stuff for the web and see the value of doing stuff on the web because people get their information.
Well, and you see all the big brands, and not to mention every single TV show produces tons of web exclusive content.
Oh, exactly. I mean, now NBC, ABC, HBO, they produce content now exclusively for the web. You will not see it on their networks, and it's becoming a major form. Especially, you know, networks like NBC are really pushing their NBC.com because they see that the television format is not going to last as long as they thought unless they find a way to reinvent it. But right now, it looks like it could, in the long term, go the way of newspapers, and people will get their entertainment that they watch from the internet, along with their news and their emails and their everything else. So you see that a lot of these big networks are finally putting some money behind it. They some of them tried it before, didn't know how to make money off of it, so they didn't work out. But now that advertisers are starting to change their revenue dollars from going to television to the internet, now all of a sudden there's money. So that means that there's a need for content, and there's a need for quality content. So, you know, some people are starting to kind of pay attention and put a little more attention to it. And that's where you get my friends who are into their own world. They're not into television, into internet media and things like that. They're into martial arts, into a form of martial arts called capoeira, which is Brazilian style martial arts. And it's a form of martial arts that's growing in a sort of grassroots way, the way things do on the internet, interestingly enough. You know, it's been a slow thing. It's not this big, huge boom craze of, oh my gosh, capoeira has stormed the world, but it's slowly grown in popularity and in, you know, the activity and the number of groups that are involved in it steadily. And you see it more in movies and films and in television and commercials and stuff like that. And this group of my friends that are really into capoeira, they decided that they wanted to put on a capoeira culture convention here in Orlando that'll be happening in 2010, and decided that a good way to start to, you know, grow the culture and community of capoeira, as well as gain a little bit of notoriety for themselves and advertising for their capoeira culture event in 2010, would be to start a weekly news show based around capoeira, to talk about capoeira in the world, not just in the local community of Orlando, but in the world, what's going on in Brazil, what's going on in Germany, what's going on in Australia. You know, they find out this information because it's out there on the web. They just kind of try to put it together, just like a typical news show, two hosts sitting behind a desk talking about the news and try to find out stories about what people are doing. And they comment on well-known capoeira masters, and they also talk about capoeira in media, as well as, you know, commercials, news, and
this is a perfect example of a show that would only really work on the internet, or maybe on some very, very niche cable channels.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't be any longer than the show that you guys are already producing.
Yeah.
It would get shown the last 10 minutes of a 30-minute program.
They try to keep it to 8 to 10 minutes long, because they don't want to lose anyone's attention. And honestly, it would be tough to fill an entire show worth of you know, like a half an hour show worth of information that wouldn't be interesting only to a very small niche of people, instead of a massive audience that might be just interested in capoeira, want to know what's going on in the world, get their information. And, you know, frankly, we have a shorter attention span these days for, you know, where we get our news from. We want to get the information, get to the root of it, and get onto something else.
And I understand that, you know, the show itself, in the first, like, 2 weeks, it saw some pretty unexpected success right off the bat.
Yeah, they were posting some pretty, you know, positive numbers for a little show that no one had ever heard of before. You know, they were getting, I think, something like, you know, 8,000 to 9,000 hits on YouTube, which isn't, like, you know,
it's
isn't as much...
to sneeze at.
Nothing like the piano-playing cat, but it's... You know, for something that's
but
a little unheard of.
The piano-playing cat gets played yeah. on the local Channel 6
news. Exactly.
And that's where they get $15 million from.
Right.
Is by getting picked up by mainstream media. So 9,000 in 2 weeks is really nothing
to It was really at. Positive to see that happen for them. I was really happy for my friends. And the way I got involved is they called me up knowing that I'm in the industry, in the entertainment industry, and that I have all this equipment and all these resources, you know, on hand that I've been building up a while, because I wanted to do some of my own stuff, and because of the internet show that you and I did. So I had...
That would be Orlando Scene
Orlando
TV.
Scene TV.
Full disclosure there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've got an HD camera, we've got some sound equipment, we've got a little bit of lighting equipment, and I've got this shop here where I've got a lot of resources on hand that help, you know, like when you need just simple things like extension cords and power strips and, you know, a laptop with teleprompter software. And I was able to put together a simple teleprompter for the first couple of shows, and then after we got a couple of shows into it, I built a much more elaborate teleprompter setup, which is still relatively simple, but it allows them to actually look directly at camera. We noticed the first couple of episodes they would always be looking off to the side or down below or up above, which you can tell the eye lines are off, and that's just those little tiny things that make a show feel a little bit more professional versus a little bit more amateurish. So we were able to improve those things over time, and we keep trying to, you know, up the production value as much as we can on a slow basis till they get some funding, which they're working on right now through finding advertisers on the internet.
Yeah. And so this brings me back to our whole setup for this, which was, let's make one thing a month.
Right.
And this is now turned into, we can make one thing every week.
One thing a week is amazing.
It doesn't take up any part of your 9 to 5.
Nope. We all come over. I'm already here, but everybody comes over to my shop. They get here usually around, you know, between 6 and 7 o'clock. And then they film. And we started out, it took quite a while for them to get their, you know, their show rolling and then get it filmed. But now they've got it down to a relatively tight time frame for a 10-minute show. You know, they get a couple of takes. They, you know, have to do some, you know, retakes because of the fact that capoeira is a Brazilian culture thing. So, of course, a lot of stuff's in Portuguese, a lot of the names and titles and whatnot. And for someone who doesn't speak Portuguese natively, they get a little tongue-tied every once in a while. So, you know, but they do a couple of takes. They do 3 camera angles, a 2-shot, a 1-shot of each of the, you know, interviewers, and they're able to get it very efficiently, and they get it edited and up on the web in a matter of days, and they put out a weekly show, a weekly bit of news, and they start to get emails from people saying, hey, talk about this, make sure to mention that, and they start finding that they have to now look through how much news they've got and try to decide what are the most important things, not how do we find enough content to fill 10 minutes, it's how do we pare it down to just, you know, the important stuff for 10 minutes, and what do we keep for next week. And this led me to go, well, all right, you guys are already coming over, and we've got all these capoeira people that are involved in the show, but we also have some of my friends that are grips and lighting and camera and editors, and they're coming over as well. So now, you know, I let that go on for a couple of weeks till they got a flow going, and then I said, great, now that we got all these people coming over here every single week, now that we got the show running a little faster, everybody's already here, let's do something with that. Let's get together and let's make something that once a month that the same group always used to talk about years ago, now get together once a week, and we've got all the equipment in place, we've got crew, you know, we've got resources and props, let's make something, let's work with what we have. It's a sort of, you know, it's guerrilla style filmmaking a little bit, and but we've got a tremendous size shop. It's about 57,000 square feet of shop space that we have to play with. Different locations, different looks that are priceless because it's a very unique old building. It's got a lot of character to it already. It doesn't need a lot of set dressing for some things that we're doing. And then I've got props and sets that I've been using for films and, you know, that are just here already. And it's a tremendous amount of resources.
Well, and Winter Garden, it's close to some pretty neat, you know, vistas anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You got the rolling hills of Claremont right over there. You got the theme parks only like half an hour down the street this way. You got all of your downtown Winter Garden historic thing going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
It really is a tremendous resource to be kind of so ideally placed, and we haven't even tapped into that yet. We're certainly making plans for that, and we've even got a meeting planned tonight where we're all going to get together. We're not even going to film this week, but we're going to sit down and plan to make sure we're more organized and prepared. And we know how to sort of better utilize these resources that we haven't tapped into yet. We've got some other ideas. And you know, we're going to take it on the road a little bit too as we get a little bit more into the filmmaking part of it. We're going to have some ideas that can't just be contained within the walls of this shop, which is a pretty vast space to work in. But, you know, we're going to start, you know, doing some location shots and stuff like that and a few other scenes to kind of, you know, start going. But we want to keep it simple and keep it small. Keep it to the idea of everybody comes over, we have equipment, we have a crew, we have locations. We film what we can in those locations with that equipment and with that crew in the time space of an evening. And sometimes we stay a little late and sometimes we get done earlier, depending on the shoot. And we haven't got a chance to make one film a week, but we get together and we film one news show a week, and about every other week we film something, and every other week of that we plan or come up with ideas, and we try to make sure that we do it for the fun and we do it for the art and for the advancement of, you know, what we want to do, you know, improve ourselves as storytellers, not just as how can we treat this as much like another job, which is what you run into with a lot of independent filmmakers. They make it too much a job, and everybody starts getting stressed out, and you start working real hard, and then you start asking yourself, why am I doing all this for no money? And that's why I think a lot of other groups that may have tried something like this before fall apart and don't work.
So then you and I had this interesting, very long phone conversation one day. You said, somebody is coming by and they're going to bring like 50 people over to my shop because, like you say, we've got the crew is here and the camera equipment and some lights and some sets and, you know, there's infrastructure here,
well,
right?
This
what
probably
you sort
should
of
be prefaced.
Have is like a little indie studio
yeah.
that is almost open invite. Like, you want to come and film something, you bring a script, you bring the talent, and we bring the movie studio.
Well, that's really, we should preface it by saying that I started, you know, getting a little bit excited about this group that we get together, and we've done it for, I want to say that this week is week 16 in a row, which is quite an accomplishment. And we don't show any sign of stopping. So I've started to reach out to friends and colleagues and even some acquaintances that I have in the film and entertainment industry and saying, we have crew, you know, we have equipment. What we are missing are pre-planned stories. Someone with a script. We don't always have time to sit down and plan what we're going to film next week. Sometimes we just make it up, which is fine. And we've actually created something pretty entertaining, we think, for just making it up on the spot. But we would like to plan it out. We would like to have a script and plan out our shots and be more like organized filmmakers that we are in our professional careers a little bit, because we can do a little bit more with that. So I started reaching out, inviting another crew to join our group, and certainly storytellers with, you know, whether they're a director with an idea or writer or something like that, and inviting them to come out. So we had this group come in, and I had someone that said, I have a writer. And I've got a director. And I said, great, bring him in. We'll help you make your story. And we'll have the break. Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
So we've got a writer.
So we've got a writer and a director. And they come in and then they start asking other crew and other friends. And we start to have a number of actors. And the number of people that we normally have here is going to be augmented by these additional crew members. And I start to find out that the numbers are getting up to at least look like we're going to have somewhere between 30 to 40 people showing up, all crew and cast total. So it's a much bigger production than what we normally are used to. We usually have about between 5 to 15 people. So, you know, it became a much bigger production than we've been doing. And it had a number of technical difficulties and hassles. And, you know, I was a little concerned, so we realized we had to step up our game and start to make contracts. And that's where we developed the idea of that everything we've been doing is for the practice of it and for the creative art of filmmaking. So we wanted to make sure to preserve that spirit and make our stuff open source, Creative Commons copyright licensed, so that way people could use it.
So you guys have plans to create now a website where you're going to be sharing these films that are Creative Commons licensed, you know, attribution, non-commercial use.
Right. And actually, there's going to be a combination of things. I mean, some of the things will be our own created content that we will want to try to, you know, sell as possibly as a series, but that's not what we're actively trying to pursue. I mean, of course, if something like that happens, that's the goal of being an artist in any form, is to eventually sell your art or, you know, not necessarily sell yourself, but sell yourself as an artist. And when we're artists, whether we're, you know, filmmakers or we're the crew that are making the film, you know, we want to advance ourselves, you know, commercially as well. So if something like that comes out of it, we certainly are going to be open to that.
And you know, for people who are not familiar with Creative Commons, the non-commercial part of Creative Commons says, if you use this, you're not supposed to be making money on it if you use our content, right?
And we still would control the creative content of it and own that.
If you as the creator want to make money,
and we certainly
you
can.
Own
yeah.
it. It's just a little more liberal than copyright. So if someone who has a blog wants to post this on their blog, they don't have to worry about, you know, I have the rights to do this?
Yeah, or am I going to come and sites, are we going to try to track them down and shut them down? And someone posts it on YouTube and we want to, you know, put the stop to that. We're not going to be doing that because we want people to distribute our artwork. We want to get it out there to the public for people to view it and get it as wide, you know, a viewership as possible. And we saw one of the best ways to make sure that, you know, we get it out there, but also it's to protect, you know, everyone involved, that they're coming out here and they're doing this for free and on their time and, you know, devoting their energy to this. And it happens a lot in the film industry that people ask these people to come out for free, and then they're going to go off and sell this and make a profit. And they're going to go, thanks, guys, for helping us make a buck. And maybe if we get some money to do it again, maybe we'll pay you. Maybe we won't. You know, like, you kind of have to trust that someone's going to remember you and be honest and everything. But there's no guarantee. This guarantees that everyone involved gets exactly the same thing out of it.
You know, yeah, everybody knows exactly the deal when they enter. It's right. That this is, you know, quote unquote open source, and what you get out of this is this, yeah, like you just said,
right.
Same thing everybody else gets.
And they'll try to tell you that that's what it is for other groups. There's a lot of filmmakers that are very kind of, that I've run into, I've told about this, are kind of resistant or unfamiliar with this concept. They're like, no, but you could just give them a back-end deal. So if you make any money, and I could show you how many dollars I've earned from back-end deals and, you know, deferred payment deals and stuff like that. Oh, if we ever make any money, we're going to pay you guys. We're going to come back and hire you for the feature. Sure, sure. That's great. But anybody that thinks they're doing a deal like that and ever going to see a dime is pretty much fooling themselves. It happens, but it's pretty rare. So what we want to do is make sure that we're here for the art of filmmaking. And so we are inviting other people to join our group, and we're starting this website to display and to exhibit our work, to get it out there so that way people can use it for their reels, they can use it for their websites, they can show other people, and they can, you know, we can also try to get some investors involved and basically build up a core body of work just like any individual artist would, but this is a collaborative effort. So that's what we're doing, that's what we're trying to accomplish, is to keep making films, keep making one thing a week, and even if we don't always make one thing a week, we're always getting together to film something a week. We always film the new show, and we always sit and talk about what we'd like to make, and we've made a number of different films now, and we've got a lot more planned, and we've got some grander schemes as well, but we're trying to keep to the mantra of keep it simple and keep making stuff. Because the moment you make it too much like a job, then it feels like a job, and then you lose interest because everybody's like, I have enough, you know, work as it is without adding an extra job on my Friday nights. So, you know, we're the Friday Night Film Group.
There you go.
We make movies and we love to do it. So
So I'm sure that we do have a film group on the floridacreatives.com, so you'll probably see a post about it there when your site does launch.
Yeah, and that should be coming up soon, and because it's a footnote, it's a side project to the goal of to continue to make films. But we're starting to compile our stuff together, and we'll have it up on the site, and we'll definitely be involved in, you know, posting it to your site and letting people know where to find out about us and watch our stuff, and probably put together a few exhibitions of our work, you know, around town. Certainly, you know, put in some stuff to the Film Slam that happens here every month at the Enzion, which, you know, I support.
First Sunday of the month? Sunday of the month?
Some Sunday of the month.
It's on a Sunday.
It's some continuous...
I think it's the second Sunday.
Yeah.
John would probably smack us.
I'm sure he probably would. But, you know, I definitely support what they do and the work that they do to keep, you know, independent filmmakers like what we're trying to do, you know, interested in their artwork by exhibiting it to a public on
and
the
just
big screen.
For the sake of completeness, if you are involved with film in some way and you haven't been to Fanny Riley's meetup.com group, they meet at various different places. They used to meet at Fairbanks Tavern. They've met at Stardust a couple of times.
McRaney's Tavern.
Taste a few times. Actually, I think they meet at Enzion at the Eden Bar. But check meetup.com is the best place. Look for Orlando and look for film, and you'll find it.
And their group is great, and, you know, that's another one that I tend to frequent quite a lot. And we hope to, you know, get a few other participants in what we do on Friday nights involved from that. And, you know, it's good food, good friends, good beer, and filmmaking. So you can't beat it.
Fantastic. All right, Stefan Price, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ryan Price.
And if you want to find out more about you, we can go to roundtableprops.com.
Roundtableprops.com. And you'll find my contact information on our contact page. And anybody who's interested in what we do or in getting involved with the Friday Film Group can certainly send me an email. I'm always open to emails and correspondence with anybody who wants to certainly hire us, anybody who needs any advice, or anybody who wants to get involved in our other projects.
Fantastic. This has been the Florida Creatives Podcast. You can find us at floridacreatives.com, on Twitter at FLCreatives. If you find us soon, please do give us a comment and a rating there. And it's a way of letting other people who find us organically know that people listen to this show and they like it and they get something out of it. We have meetups every third Monday of the month at the Crooked Bayou, downtown Orlando, at, I believe now it is at Squid Lips in Melbourne. On the third Thursday of the month, we have Like Mind and the MOOM, the Meeting of Orlando Minds, on the third Fridays of the month at rotating locations. And there is a South Florida group that has met in Fort Lauderdale in the past. We're looking, actively seeking other people to run groups in other cities, because the idea is to get a network of at least 5 of these things, maybe 9, maybe 11, maybe 12 in different cities around the state, and then get together for a big summit at the end of every year, whatever we consider the end of every year to be, whether it's in May or in the summer or in the winter, sometime that makes sense, and get together and share and just talk and get inspired by other people, see what other folks are doing, learn about interesting projects like the Friday Film Group, and maybe get involved with those projects, or just make a new friend. That's what we're here for. And check out floridacreatives.com. I've been Ryan Price. Thank you.